At 10:49, this is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Alvin.
Yes, Alvin.
Yes, I really didn't plan on calling, but I had to call, take my phone up after hearing Mr. P, because I think it was on film, Resi, what I heard. Resi never don't know a word about people who are blind and think can't perform and things like that. Before I heard Resi this morning, for any time I heard the ads on your station about the meeting last night, and I heard Sir Neil was called as one of the speakers, I felt it was wrong.
Why?
I'm talking about how he was left on and left off. I believe when you're honored, there's things you do and things you don't do. And if you remember, because I spoke to you about it, mm-hmm. when Dr. Anthony Carter said on Brass Tacks that Nelson Statue need training, you see, I called Brass Tacks and asked if you could remove honors from people after giving them. And Gabby's my friend of mine, I like rabbis. But what he said then, his honor should have been taken from him. Because first of all, no slave owners in England ain't put Nelson there. Barbadians put Nelson there. And I believe if they had to move it, they should find somewhere to place it, museum somewhere. But to say it should be training, see, I was annoyed with my friend. Just a whole annoyed with how Resi was treated just now, by you and by Mr. P. Because if you have the title, sir, what are you doing on a political platform? And then to make it worse now, as Resi said, I don't know, they had to be lifted on and off.
Or is assisted. I'm not so sure that he was lifted up, but he was assisted.
Someone had to help him on.
Yeah.
I am saying is insult to the title, sir. You may not believe it, but where Alvin is concerned, is an insult to that honor. You will never see a man like Sir Davidson who's doing that. And he's more BLP than Sir Roy. And I would bet you my bottom dollar, you will never see Sir Davidson on a political platform. No, because he's a sir. Let me move on, Mr. Ellis.
Well, I want to say to you that you raised a point which I'm pretty sure can generate some debate here today, over whether being knighted puts you in a new category where you ought not to be on a political platform. The other question is this: apart from the knighthood, would you adopt the same posture in relation to other national honors? Because all honors, all national honors are not knighthoods. You have things like the Companion of Honor and all of that. So where do you draw the line? Only
at the moment, I'm drawing it at sir.
At sir. Or dame.
Or dame. Or dame, yeah. But you, well, as you witness Dame Nita, Miss Miller on the platform, you remember?
You
last
mean
time?
Dame Billy Miller?
I mean, speaking on a political platform, when last?
It's been a long time, I think.
Okay, but let me move on to my next point. Now, Ms. Ellis, I am hearing, I was on another station listening and then transfer over. Are you saying that no one should come on and start discussing the St. George election?
No.
Is that the policy of the station now?
The policy of the station has not changed from what it has been before, which is that in an election period, we are not here to endorse candidates or parties.
Okay. Ms. Ellis,
that's the position. Is that strange to you?
Of course, because as I tell you, I was wrong. As I say, I was wrong, Tom Long.
Let me hear you now.
Up to days before the last election, well, the man collecting gold dust now, because all of a sudden he's getting gold dust. I know, every find a gold mine here or something. And I, Straker Century, the historian, who's Mr. Taximan now, all of us was on Bastards after the election, Mr. Ellis.
Doing what?
Doing what I do, I think.
Who's that? Endorsing the political party that you support?
Talking politics. We have an idea how far to go with it, Mr. Ellis.
Well, you know, I have not said that we can't talk politics. What I'm clear on is that once you start going down the road of encouraging people to vote for a particular candidate or for a particular party, that's where we're going to stop you.
But, Miss Ellis, I was going around shops for years. Now, I don't do it regular now because of my vision.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. And then you, as any good foot soldier, don't tell anybody who to vote for. When you finish speak, they will understand who you want to vote for. You've got to be able to do it in their way.
Well, once you weave it in your clever way and you're able to bypass all the rest of us, fine. But if unfortunately we spot you, then we are going to stop you.
But that's your job.
Right.
Okay. But let me say this before I get to, because I've got one more little point. I know you're ramming off quick, so let me get this thing quick. Now, what would you call Sajiko this morning?
This morning?
Yes.
Sajiko this morning talked about Barbados as it relates to the whole question of the European Union and the blacklisting of the country.
So that is not,
I don't see that as campaigning. That is talking about a national issue.
You see it that way.
No.
But I saw it that way.
Well, I can't see.
I saw it as a political.
Cannot see how a comment in relation to how Barbados is being treated by the European Union and Barbados's concern about that can be put in the category of partisan politics in Barbados.
Okay, but you got to understand.
I
listened to it.
Well, but I understand that you listen to it, but at the end of the day...
I know that a lot of what I heard have nothing to do with blacklisting. The blacklisting was involved in the speech.
No. In the speech, I am talking about the portion that was used this morning.
I talked about this morning, too.
Well,
listen to it. And I would like to ask you, as Tomiko, I got you as a defender of this government. You know that.
You can call me whatever you feel like, but
okay,
you know,
as I told you already,
the government gets criticism and it gets praise.
Okay, we agree with that.
Right.
But Ms. Ellis, you believe if a government that was attacking the last government, especially going after Chris Sinclair, everything is a downgrade and a blacklist, the first voice you hear is the present prime minister going after him, and he was fully responsible for all those things. And this morning on your program, I was told that if the last government had worked on the blacklisting from 2017, they never mentioned part of 2017, they won't have the problem they're going to have tomorrow. Because it seems that this blacklisting will be in place from tomorrow.
Yeah, but I would say to you on that particular score that there's another side to this argument, which is the Barbados Labour Party has been in office since May 2018. How is it, therefore, that this particular matter has been left to hover over our heads for so long? Even if you accept that this is something that is a carryover from the Democratic Labour Party administration, hasn't the BLP had ample time to correct this matter? I think that is a question that has to be answered in the context of what has been said by the government.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. I won't go no further with that point. Let me get to my final one now. Thank you. Mr. Ellis, in all my days of campaigning and following elections in Barbados, St. George North election is the strangest one I ever come across. I mean, the little information that I have now, most of it from my phone.
On your phone?
Most of it coming towards my phone. In other words, being receiving calls. Here it is, you have an election, and a particular individual who entered the race about 7 days ago. That's the only name you're hearing all about, St. George. Where do you think, Miss Ellis?
I don't know.
There are seven candidates in the race. Here, someone entered the race that you and I never, I believe you never know too. Involved politically in nothing. How come that this name is all over the place?
Well, that is according to your phone. But you know, your phone is wired in a particular way. And therefore,
it is quite possible
that you are going to hear that name because of your association with one or other of the political parties or one or other of the candidates. I cannot sit here and tell you that I am hearing this anybody's name all over St. George. Tell you the truth.
No, we say all over St. George. St. George North.
All over St. George North. I don't know. I can't answer the question
for you. You follow St. George North on Saturday.
You mean walking boat with the canvassing and stuff?
You believe that a government that got 28, 29 seats and had a representative in that area for 26 years, they're on the street from 8 o'clock in the morning to about 10 o'clock last night going for themselves.
And what's wrong with that canvassing?
But listen, Miss Ellis, you might have canvassed on the radio, but I canvassed on the ground. I copy Arabara saying, in elections, you walk out two and three pairs of shoes.
And therefore, what they are doing is not peculiar. You would do the same thing.
Miss Ellis, that's the big thing, you know. They're marching or walking all about, and a particular candidate they name all over St. John North.
All right, well, let's debate and see where that takes both of the major political parties in the country and whether you're going to find yourself with a situation where one or the other parties or candidates might not make significant inroads. We just wait and see how this campaign goes, all right? And I wait to see whether you will walk your shoes off your feet as well. Knowing you, you love politics so much, I wouldn't be surprised. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
I would like to speak not about corona, but about dengue, the epidemic. Yes, what I would like the minister to do is, as long as we see dengue is in Caribbean, it won't be long before, So what I would like the minister to do is, all these old dialect cars and things you see all over the place, I would like to see a cleanup. I mean, this was to do a long time ago, and I am still seeing a lot of dialect cars all around the place. I mean, Mr. Ellis, if people can get to a point where, you know, like mechanics repair cars at the place where people live, instead of bringing cars from St. Philip and St. John and St. Andrew and packing them up in St. Michael, I mean, it looks so terrible.
I understand the concern.
Yes, if you have a car and you can't get it fixed, carry it back to your people's house instead of having the roads narrow by all these old cars. I don't know if you ever passed through Garden Village. I used to see all the old cars all over the place. And I mean making the road narrow. I mean government have to step up, get rid of all these old cars. I mean they look bad. I don't think anywhere else in the world you will see so much old cars on the road.
The old cars and what I have spoken about before, I think I heard one of the ministers saying that something was going to be done about it. The Bayside garages, these Bayside garages that you find have so many vehicles parked in a neighborhood, which to my mind help to impact on the value of the other properties in the neighborhood in close proximity. You have many situations here where neighbors cannot invite anybody to their house because there's no place to park. You know, they are grossly inconvenienced by people who are making a living as the small black man. But in their pursuit of their particular livelihood, they're also impacting on several of their neighbors at the same time. And this just goes on and on and on. And nothing is done about it. It looks as though, you know, people turn a blind eye to the problem. The neighbors, I believe many of them find themselves in situations where they just throw their hands up in frustration. And there are instances where people feel intimidated to actually raise their voices.
Yes, I would like the government agencies to look into it. It needs to be looked into.
I thought I heard Minister Duguid say that something was going to be done about it, but nothing has been done as far as I can see. You know?
Okay.
Understand your concern.
Okay.
Let me take some comments here from people who've sent us WhatsApp messages. This person says that they read in yesterday's Nation newspaper about the bar fund that is used to mitigate losses. But as far as they are concerned, a lot of things are running through their brain at the moment. It is time, they say, that the government goes back to the drawing board and passes a law for all lawyers who receive clients' money and who are putting this money into their accounts and using the interest to be prohibited from doing so. The writer says, it is so sad because in Barbados, the lawyers don't tell their colleagues when they are wrong. It is sad, and that's why people in this country that are supposed to run it the right way are creating a lot of frustration in the society. So this matter of the lawyers and how they deal with clients' accounts continues to be one of real concern. It has long been an issue in Barbados, and it seems as though for all the talk that has been put down, people are still left in a situation of feeling as though they're not getting anywhere with it. This person says, thanks for giving Alvin a fair chance today to put his points across. You know, Alvin will get a fair chance to put his points across once he takes the kind of line that he took today. All parents with children at Ellerslie should also isolate their other children at home until further notice, says this writer. Don't risk infecting other schools, according to this writer. And the other comment that I have here is, can you tell me if the BLP and Adelie's party, if they lose the by-election, would Adelie have to give up one of the seats in the Senate? Well, I don't know what would happen in this situation if the if the BLP and Adelie's party lose. I don't think a loss of this by-election would have any bearing on what is happening in the House of Assembly or the Senate. Remember, Mr. Adelie is not the person who is running in this instance. He is the opposition leader in Parliament. And because he occupies that position, he is able to appoint senators coming from that background. This by-election, he is fielding a candidate in the by-election, and if that candidate loses, it does not remove Mr. Adelie as opposition leader. Some other contact here. This one says, really, park vehicles on block of the road. This person says, one such place is Queen Mary Road in Bank Hall. A lot of attention is being paid today to what is happening in the United States with President Donald Trump. And one story here says that he has signaled on Monday that he is preparing to return to the White House imminently, even as the severity of his coronavirus disease remain unclear, and there are key questions about his condition that remain unanswered. They are quoting sources as saying that bored and eager to appear healthy, Trump has agitated for a swift release and on Sunday made a foray outside the hospital walls for a slow motion drive-by to greet supporters gathered at a roadside nearby. According to this report, Trump has been demanding to go back to the White House. What makes this particularly interesting, though, is the fact that he has had to get a steroid, which is associated with a serious illness associated with COVID. So the world is watching to see exactly what is happening in the United States and how this is going to play out eventually. This person has a query: should family members of staff from Ellerslie be allowed to return to work as well? I suppose there are several questions here surrounding the decision to close the Ellerslie school for a 14-day period as a result of the fact that one of the students there has tested positive for COVID. Some of these questions may well have to be answered by the ministry rather than or the people who are dealing with the COVID information. It's a difficult situation for me to for me to be involved in trying to answer these types of questions. Another question here or comment. This person says, I think they should test everyone at that school so you can know if anyone else has it. Don't wait for any symptoms before you test. Well, I understand the concern that people have on this particular matter. And I wait to see, you know, we have to put a lot of our faith in the authorities when it comes to these issues. But I do realize that overall, a major issue here revolves around how we are dealing with high-risk countries and medium-risk countries. And this, the extent to which the Barbados Medical, the BAM, Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners, has gone out in public to say to the government that in their judgment, the approach that they are adopting needs to be modified. Government has said that it's sticking to its guns, and therefore it will stay with the protocols as they are right now. But there are people who are not as comfortable as you would want them to be with the existing protocols as it relates to the testing and the period for testing people. Given the fact that people are turning up sometimes with no COVID in one test, and when the second test comes, then you have COVID. And that five-day period, people are, you know, a little worried about it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you keeping today?
I'm okay.
I was saying and say that the children just attested with that classroom that the girl was in first.
Can you turn your radio off, please?
And see if the children.
Can you turn your radio off?
Yeah.
Because it's keeping a lot of noise in the background.
They should check his classroom first. You get all those children? And see if anything happened with them. And when the children come to school, they don't have one on mask, don't let them enter the class. That would have should.
Well, I think, you know, you got to anticipate that they are going to do all that is required to make sure that, you know, the place is cleaned up and it is safe for people to return to the classrooms.
Oh,
I think what's happening here is that yesterday there was quite a lot of activity on social media which had the potential, I believe, of panicking some people about the whole issue of community spread. This has been denied by the government officials and that sort of thing. But I would say this, based upon all that is happening, we need to be cautious and we shouldn't drop our guard at all. Notwithstanding what has been said by the government, we need to recognize that anything is possible. You know.
That's why you should wear a mask wherever you go.
Well, it isn't just wearing a mask. It is the extent to which you are in certain groups and that sort of thing as well, you know. I mean,
right.
I've watched what has happened there in the United States where you had this cluster coming out of the meeting that was held in the Rose Garden. And you see people really being very close to each other.
And without masks.
Without masks, touching one another. You know, for them, they behaved as though it was business as usual. They have no problem or had no problem with the coronavirus up to that point.
Yeah.
And we have to learn from these types of experiences because here, I must tell you, a lot of people have dropped their guard.
But you know when this thing first started, you're saying everybody hustling to get this, hustling to get that, and washing their hands, and you can't even get a paracetamol, you can't even get that alcohol. You everything you will, everything dropped back.
Right. But that's because we suffer from something called COVID fatigue. People get tired being locked down. People get tired being restricted. And it is in those circumstances that this virus can sneak through.
Right, but this virus like ain't finishing her because it like it's time back up overseas more again too. Cause tomorrow was over and something, but a certain amount of people died somewhere in 2 days.
No, the question for you as an average person is, when you look at all that is happening, how has it changed your behavior? How has it changed your life?
Yeah.
For you. Has it changed life for you?
Well, I already can't get around, so I just tell my son to be careful on the road. I could be stealing him, they could keep a slipper and give it to me too. Although I ain't sitting there nocturnal on the road, I would say be careful where you go.
Mm-hmm.
Understand?
Yes, ma'am. Understood.
Yeah.
All right.
But I mean, but in all these school children, they have good morale, they have a best friend at school, and you know. When you go to school, you see yourself and boy, that you're best friend, you know, and they all be slapped together.
All right, well, thanks for calling. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, hi.
David.
Hi.
Okay, I'm not going to touch with the school and the child because I know the relevant authorities. They're going to do what they're supposed to do. They need to go through with a fine teeth comb. They believe they're doing that. But in my going around to certain establishments, right, I realize that some people's tape, you know, that is faded. Some have been removed. And I discovered that we are not, like Hobie was before practicing safe distance, we are not doing it. I see people, they're clustered, they're together. And the mask. I wish that they would legislate some sort of law that you should wear your mask. I would say like in public, no. I know that it can become very uncomfortable. Okay, but you see like Swan Street, when I have to pass through Swan Street, that can be very crowded at that time, I don't take off my mask. Because you don't know somebody can sneeze, who you're going to bump, you don't know. But I think that people, they're taking a break. They're taking a serious thing. You watch television, listen to Chris Cuomo. All he says, he was one of the lucky ones. And only about last month, he said that he was still having certain things. It was not gone completely from his body. He and Don Lemon always talking about this thing, and we cannot let down our guards. I don't want to see the country shut down. I don't want that. because we depending on the economy, jobs, everything will affect everybody indirectly, right. Directly and indirectly. But we need some sort of legislative laws as the people the as establishment to retape or repaint the space and insist that you stay, go back 6 feet, go back. When this thing first came up, we were doing well. It's COVID is still out there. This is for the people. It ain't gone away. It's just that we learning to manage ours. And I wish that they would take it serious.
Well, quite a number of people have actually taken it seriously. But as I suggested to you earlier, part of the difficulty here is that once you realize that there was no community spread in Barbados and that we had it under control, there are many people who have been pushing for Barbados to open up some more. Now, I've heard people say, and they suggested it here on this program, that we should open up these schools completely. That we should not. Last week I was hearing this sort of talk, because we come to the point of believing that we've got this thing under such control that mm-hmm. we can go back to normal. But this mm-hmm. thing sneaks in on you in a very subtle way, and in next to no time, you can find yourself with a cluster. And that yeah. explains why the authorities have been so guarded and so cautious in trying to deal with the problem. Now, I want to hear some of those who were calling for Barbados to just reopen and people who are saying we're putting too much emphasis on this and that. Those of you who have been making that argument, come and tell us today how you feel in light of what has just happened over the weekend.
All right, David, one more thing. Okay. All right. I realize that every aircraft comes to Barbados from overseas, it's somebody with COVID. I don't know how we can handle this situation. I don't know. You can't stop because we need the money, but something has to be done. They need to put their heads together, the authorities, and do something. I wouldn't say stop all, but something has to be done because each time a plane comes in, it brings in somebody.
You sound very concerned about it. David, are you afraid?
If I afraid, you know that if I bring it in this house, everybody gonna get it. You know, it's met close and L my customers. You, me tell something, why you won't know what to do?
But how you deal with it? If you have customers coming at your house,
I cut off my customers. I cut them off. There's a girl who used to come to me, and you know when she comes, she stands outside. I tell her, he's off the time being. It got you frightened. I was saying last night that I can go and buy some masks, about 20 disposable masks.
Yes.
And I am going to give my customers, wear a mask where you are. Wrong me. It got me. I was never so scared listening to CNN, reading. The amount of thousands of people, over a million dead with it in the States, it got me frightened. Honest, as a human being, I am scared. And don't tell me you shouldn't be scared. I am scared.
But how has it affected your livelihood? If you have to cut off customers, then you can't earn a living.
All right, listen, all right. This was my side job, okay? Mm-hmm. My dressmaking, because I just returned my side job, right? It helps. But I can't mind side job and side money, and then I in here can't work, the machine can't do anything. You got to cut somewhere. But I'm going to buy about 25 disposable, and I am going to put up a sign outside. I don't care who came, I'm going to come. I will live.
And your sign outside will say what?
Mask up before you enter. That's all. I had a problem with people walking through with the shoes on carpet, and I wrote a sign. I went was a hole, but a prominent man came in here with his wife and his child, and I got my sister baby on creeping, and I put up a sign.
What was that sign saying?
I am carpeted. I have a baby in here. Please stay off your shoes before entry. And you know, it worked.
That's a big works. Sign. That's a lot to put in one sign.
I put it in.
Why you didn't just say take off your shoes?
Huh?
Why you didn't just say take off your shoes?
I'm careful to take off your shoes. Wait, I tell you straight, I'm careful to take off your shoes. The little child was there on it had me, man. We need, I can put up a sign and I can get about 25 masks and put here that you could hand customers, you know, a mask.
You're taking
on.
Temperatures too?
I am looking at that there. I am looking at that, this temperature gauge. I even checked the price, and I'm looking at that. Something has to be done. It got me. Oh, gosh.
So you have to go shopping. Who shops for you?
When I shop, I wear my mask.
Okay. How has it restricted you outside of the house? Because you make the point that as far as your business is concerned, you're a seamstress, and
yes.
You've stopped business generally, you know, thinking about restarting
that.
Let me
tell you something, David. Mm-hmm. I have two neighbors that I used to visit often. One that lived directly above me. I don't know when last I went near her house or in her house. Not me. The other one, I tell her, girl, we can see each other, we can say hello, but we can. It cannot be business. It's not going to be business as usual. And they understand. They understand. Because, you know, you're looking at a friend you have, he works at the airport, and you know, it got me looking at, he's so different now. He gone back to run, he begging, be careful.
When you say look at him differently, what do you mean?
Yeah, because you don't know, like, if he, you know, this, you want to, suppose he took somebody's suitcase, handle, or pulley, to put on his trolley, and that person has COVID and don't know. All them things I just think about, right? My sanitizer, two balls on the table here that I don't get out my outside. My bag, I just make sure. I ain't saying, I forgot my mask, but I was given one. I forgot my mask, and I was given one. But the sanitizer, so I dropped that down in my bag. Trying to wash your hands often, I don't know.
Well, you got somebody here who says, what about the children? This point was about basically it says school should be open with masks. It is not back to normal. It is with masks, open windows. If people can ride to town on buses, why are we depriving children of education? It's ludicrous. Half of the population is jammed up on buses and ZRs, but we can't have kids in a classroom in masks. This is what science does for one. You can be concerned, but not panic. Improve the protocols for entry, but allow children in school with masks and apply restrictions. How do you see that?
When I look at children in school wearing masks, what are we going to do with your reception class? A child that's going to be tugging at the mask and pulling for anything to get hot. How are you going to get them to practice safe distance? This is what got me those little dots that go to school. How we can get it due? Yes, a fifth farmer, fourth farmer, third farmer may tolerate that. But I don't see a child from reception age. Yes, you can tell them they must wear the mask. But at some time, they're going to be tugging and pulling at it, or it can become very uncomfortable. How are we going to handle that? We can't keep them home all the time, because they need to get to school to get something in their little heads. I don't know how the public out there can answer to this one, but I need somebody to tell me how we can deal with reception, the little dogs, three and four-year-old, in school the whole day in mass, and, you know, to keep them on, how we can deal with that matter. And I gone, David.
All right. Well, thank you very much for sharing your experience with us. This is Down to Brass Tacks.